It's Here and Now. This week marks the 38th anniversary of the day the U.S. Supreme Court reinstituted the death penalty. So we're talking about it. And yesterday we heard from New York Law School professor Robert Blecker, who made the argument for the death penalty.
There are some people who kill so viciously with an attitude that is so callous, so cruel, so wanton, that they simply deserve to die.
Well, that's what prosecutors in Maryland thought about Kirk Bloodsworth. He was convicted in the brutal murder and sexual assault of a 9-year-old named Don Hamilton in 1984. Kirk spent nearly 9 years in prison, two of them on death row, but he didn't do it. DNA evidence cleared him, and today he works with Witness to Innocence, an organization of exonerated death row inmates who work to end the death penalty. Kirk's with us from Philadelphia. Welcome.
Hi, Jeremy. Glad to be here.
Well, and what was it like to know all those years in jail that you didn't do it, but that you may well die for what you didn't do?
Well, I heard the intro as we talk here, and I can only think that, you know, that's all well and good if we try to put the guilty away, the persons that are so callous. But who gets to decide that? Is it that professor? Or is it the prosecutors that worked on my case? I said, I don't think we can go forward with any executions in any country or anywhere with the idea, because you won't answer the first question. What if they didn't do it? I think that trumps everything. And, you know, honestly, sitting there all those years, 8 years, 10 months and 19 days, I have to tell you that, you know, we can get it wrong. And we have many times.
Well, what did it feel like there in prison for you?
Well, it's the most hollow place on earth. Prison is a very, you know, sobering place. I mean, it's 24 hours a day of a locked door, of a cell that you can take 3 steps and walk from the back of the wall to the cell door. It's where, you know, you sit there with a stainless steel toilet and sink and just think about life and death. And I thought about both all day long as an innocent man.
Did you think that you were going to be exonerated?
What I thought was is that I was going to be executed for something I didn't do. I mean, that was the paramount thought in my mind. I sat there day after day after day contemplating them putting me in a gas chamber and choking me to death for a murder I didn't commit. I thought about my innocence every day, and that I wanted to catch the real killer, and I wanted the person responsible for why I was in there. It just took a total of 19 years to make that happen.
Well, and the fascinating thing also is that you were in prison with the man who was eventually identified as Don Hamilton's killer.
Yeah, how ironic that was. I mean, you know, the guy was in a tier below me for about 5 years. And this was all based on, Jeremy, on a witness identification of a man that was described as being 6'5", curly blonde hair, bushy mustache, tan skin, and skinny. Jeremy, for your listeners, I'm about 6 foot tall. My hair was as red as an apple. I had sideburns that were just as red, and a mustache red. And, you know, I had a missing tooth in the front. I'm fair-skinned. I'm not, you know, a tanned individual. And to say I'm skinny is a compliment, because even at 23 years of age, I was, you know, I was about 225 pounds. It's all witness identification problems, and that's what caused this whole thing to snowball into my wrongful conviction.
Well, did the person who was convicted, Kimberly Shea Ruffner, did he know why you were there?
You know, you would have to ask him that question, but he, you know, it seems very odd. He says he don't remember me or being in there for what he did, but he also said that, you know, he remembered doing it, he remembered how he did it, and he remembered taking a vacation the day after, so... If you can do all that, you don't have any problem lying.
Did you have an opinion about the death penalty before this experience?
No, I didn't. Not really. I mean, I was 23 years old. I just got out of the Marines, honorably discharged a Marine, and just was trying to live my life as a commercial fisherman on Maryland's eastern shore. And then I got caught up in this whole mess about the death penalty and social justice. And I never realized that I would be an advocate for change in America. I mean, I came from a very conservative family. You know, most people believe in my family that you just like that opening line of that professor. You know, people would do horrible things. You get horrible punishments. But personally, I believe we have to think about the innocent ones that we have found so far. And it's more than a handful, I can tell you.
Well, one of the things that Professor Blecker was telling us is that in anything that we do, we take risks. And we even take risks when we walk with our kids on the street, that they may be hit by a car or something like that. And that's the risk you take. And that the risk you take in punishing those who actually did commit heinous crimes is that you may occasionally punish those who didn't.
You know, that's a very cavalier statement for a person that's not sitting in the execution chamber or on death row. I mean, we have 3,000 people that are sitting there because he says this is collateral damage to a system. It's not up for him to say who lives or dies, who thinks something's cruel and or so sinister that we need to put them to death. I mean, the thing of it is that why doesn't Mr. Blecker talk about the innocent people in this country? Instead of wanting to execute people, to, you know, kill people to say killing is wrong, doesn't make sense to me. And we're sitting there and all these innocent people are being found. The system isn't working. This is not, we're not collateral damage. I mean, we're not. I think we relegate ourselves to a traffic accident. Are we becoming that callous in life that that's what we're doing? I believe he's wrong and misguided. And he, I don't know, he might, he's must be a very, sounds like a very educated person. And I can't understand why a person as educated as that can be diametrically opposed to the things that I offer and people like Witness to Innocence offer in this life, that innocent people are sent to death row and executed. This is not, it's too cavalier to continue with the punishment.
Do you believe that innocent people have been executed?
Absolutely. Absolutely sure of it. I mean, you know, Cameron Todd Willingham in Texas was based on, you know, junk for arson science. There's been many. Reuben Cantu. I you know, the list goes on and on. We don't even apply the death penalty fairly in this country, to let alone to say that you know, this person deserves to die. That's not up to Mr. Blecker or anybody else. We should do away with it. And if you want to really punish somebody, you know, put them in prison for the rest of their life, it certainly would take away the collateral damage that he talks about.
That's Kirk Bloodsworth. He was the first person in the U.S. who was sentenced to death and then exonerated by DNA evidence. Kirk, thanks so much for speaking with us and best of luck.
Jeremy, it's my pleasure. Take care.
And you can hear our conversation from yesterday with Robert Blecker, The Other View on the Death Penalty, and leave a comment at hereandnow.org.